It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. It's,
Laura from CNN just called. They're not voting on this until, yeah.
No! Fine.
What until 5.
Come on!
Yeah. So it's going to be a while.
So will it happen today or tomorrow?
Lisa's going to be talking about it tomorrow.
Ah, okay. Well, tomorrow, though, see, here you go. So it's a forward promote, as they say in the radio world. Tomorrow, Lisa Goddard talking about this legislation to make English the national, the language. Is that, how do you say language in Spanish?
I don't know.
Language. the language de nacional. Or whatever.
That sounds French.
Whatever. They're all, it's the French, Spanish, doesn't matter. It's not English, it's crap. If it's not English, it doesn't matter.
Okay, George Shelby.
I'm just saying. Did you see that footage of George Bush singing the national anthem in Spanish?
No, did you hear him calling the snowboarders dudes and dudesses?
No. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was on last night.
No, hell no. When did he say that?
Yesterday.
I said that dudes and dudettes thing, but I was kidding. I was being ironic, at least.
No, he didn't even say dudettes, he called them dudesses. Oh. It was awful.
Oh, grandfather, take off the disco clothing.
Oh, and everyone's looking at it, like it's like, kind of chuckling, but looking at each other like he did not.
Where was he?
He was at some snowboarding competition.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Was he trying to be edgy? Was he trying to be down with the, you kids love these X Games. Oh, God damn.
And as his opponent learned in the last election, the kids don't vote. Never will.
There's no point. There's no point ever trying to pander to the, look, I'm not trying to be down on the kids. The kids are all right, as Pete Townsend said, but they don't vote. Most people don't.
No.
Because, you know.
Well, that was the first time.
Because what's the point? Really? Look, I know this isn't going to endear me to Mike Donahue and that guy who called yesterday and demanded that we have more, like, incisive political, you know, whatever. But, I mean, as Jello Biafra once said, if voting changed anything, it would be illegal. So.
Yeah, that's why after that last election, like, that was the first time I voted. I don't really have any interest in doing it again.
In 2000?
In 2004.
Oh, in 2000. Well, I was going to say in 2000, no, what's the point? Didn't even count all of them. So I'm.
They counted a few.
They counted the ones that mattered. So I'm not going to. Look, and you know me, I'm not a conspiracy nut. I'm really not.
But Jeb Bush will be the next president, regardless of whether he wins or not.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Look, I'm not a tinfoil hat guy. But you know what? I know when I'm being screwed. So it has nothing to do with a conspiracy. I know when the man is screwing me. So there you go. Let's see. About feet without socks. Am I getting sent? Oh, that's about Sarah. Rick, is there? I want to get like a special bed just for when I read emails about you. Is there any chance Sarah's going out without other articles of clothing? Perhaps due to the heat or therapist recommendation or because her roommates have taken all of her articles of clothing? Yeah. Let's see.
You
what
know
else?
What I noticed is that both of my roommates lock their doors when they leave the house, and I never do. Should I start locking my door?
Absolutely.
Do they not trust me?
The front door?
No, they lock their bedroom doors.
Oh, yeah. You don't want them rummaging around your panty drawer.
Well, I'd never lock it.
Oh, well.
It doesn't seem like they trust me.
I'd burn your underwear doors. I'd go to the store today and buy all new stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be... Rick, about the heat and humidity. Oh, this is from Todd the Corpse, and I, in a moment, did you read that email that I put on the website, that pandering, the pleading, please give me a sounder? I agreed in a moment of weakness to give him a sounder. All right, this is from Todd.
Come on!
The Corpse. Let me tell you about Florida heat and, yes, the humidity. The last time I was in Florida during the summer, the asphalt was literally soft beneath my feet as I walked. Also, you are never clean, because even seconds after you get out of the shower, it okay, this is why he deserves the center, because he can make me laugh out loud. Also, you are never clean, because even seconds after you get out of the shower, it feels like someone is bludgeoning you with a warm bag of moist socks. It's a disgusting, disgusting place. Good luck with that. Signed, that's from Todd, the Corpse.
Come on!
All right, what else do we have here? Perhaps Sarah's therapist could apply some lotion on Sarah's bare shoulders. Slowly, over and over, to keep her from burning. Sweet therapy, Florida style. Let's see, what else?
We need to have her on one of these days before all my sessions run out.
Okay, now, then this is when? When is your last therapy session?
I only have three more because my insurance, you know, or else it's like $200.
All right.
So I have three.
When is your next session?
Not till the beginning of June.
How about if we ask the listeners to chip in and get and donate to get you some more?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Well, see, I was actually... Well, see, there's one or two ways
we
could go.
I really like her, and if I had, you know, like all the money in the world, I'd go all the time.
If you had all the money in the world, you wouldn't need to go to therapy.
No, I think it's fun. It's so selfish.
Well, yeah, because you can just sit there and go, let me talk about me.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me talk about...
Doesn't interrupt. You can tell the most pointless, babbling stories about yourself.
Therapists, and I mean this with respect, are like whores. And by that I mean...
I'm sure she appreciates hearing that.
No.
She'll change the sign on her door now.
No, I mean in that...
You can see the listing in the lobby.
See, there's a joke there to be made, but I'm not going to do it.
No, I actually exactly know what you're talking
about. You know what I'm talking about. They have to pretend to be interested in you.
They pretend to be interested in you.
It's all about your needs.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. You want to dress up like Little Bo Peep and be beaten in the face with a sausage, they have to do it. Doesn't matter. You're
paying. Really think about what they're going to put on their sandwich at Quiznos.
Yes.
For that you live.
And when you're done, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
No baggage. No, have to talk to them later. They're not calling you at home to nag you about stuff.
They're not judging you for your opinions.
They're not judging you for what you want to pursue, what you want to spend the hour doing or talking about.
And they only know your side of the story, so they think you're always right.
Totally. That's the best. That's the best thing, by the way.
Yeah.
That's like being an operator for the Psychic Friends Network when you're just reading anything out of a book and not necessarily their song.
You did that, right?
I sure did.
Because Laura did, too.
Yeah. I ruined some people's lives in a very short period of time.
Do tell.
Well, this room would be... I get so tired of sitting in this room with all these people babbling, and I couldn't even hear my own conversation.
Were you in a boiler room?
I was.
Like a cube farm? Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was a third floor boiler room, and we're all sitting at, you know, those bingo tables, and all these people, and I could barely hear it. So this guy was, I finally met the woman of my dreams. What should I do? And finally, I just get so tired of the whole thing. I get rid of her. And he said, what did you just say? I said, get rid of her. And he slammed the phone down.
I'm sorry.
Well, I couldn't hear it. It was 500 degrees in this room, and all these people are babbling at once. And I'm getting in trouble because I'm not keeping people on the phone for 15 minutes like I'm supposed to. So anyway, but life did get its revenge because after that, I got my job as an all-night desk clerk, and that's when I got robbed. So I should have done a good job. In a peaceful boiler room and kept
that job. The idea of you just go to Vegas, put everything on 38 red, do it now. Oh my God. Yeah, Laura was a phone psychic for like, and by the way, I should note in defense of my wife's intelligence, she does not believe in psychic claptrap. But she was writing an article, she was writing a book. Ended up being an article, not a book. She was a bit, because she just couldn't take it anymore. She had this brilliant idea, because she used to be a writer. And she had this brilliant idea, she's like, there's a whole book in the phone psychic thing, which I think is true. But she did it for like 2 weeks, and she's just like, I can't take these people anymore. She's like, I can't take one more idiot from Arkansas calling me because the meth-using boyfriend has wrecked the car for the third time, and they want a telephone psychic to tell them what to do. So,
if I were Indiana or Ohio,
it was, man, and they were just the dumbest, and it's like, I know, she would let me listen to the call sometimes. Like, I did one, actually. She handed the phone off to me once. And it was, I did something wrong because they whoever was just like, I gotta go. And like, they totally ended the call soon. But man, they were just, everybody who calls just so freaking stupid. Just so unbelievably dumb. Anyway.
And you tell people, let me look into my crystal ball. Well, you make sure you're reading out of the Aries book and not the Virgo book.
Now, when you got the job as the phone psychic.
The ad said telephone operator. So I figured, well, that's something I can get hired to do. That shouldn't be too hard.
Did they ask you? Because when Laura got the phone psychic job, mm-hmm. This is the best show ever. You know, really, to those...
Okay, keep going.
I just got to say.
Okay.
What could people possibly be listening to other than us? When you got the job as the phone psychic, though, because when Laura did, there was a checklist. It was a form of, how strongly would you rate your psychic ability, 1 to 10? And then, what is your preferred method for communing with... whatever, the spirit god or whatever it is. And it was like, check one, crystal ball, I Ching, numerology, reading tea leaves, whatever. Did they ask you that?
No.
They didn't even care. It's, when can you start?
Well, they were saying...
Do you have cleft palate?
You get 4 days of training, And you survive the 4 days of training by keeping so many people on their phone for 15 minutes because that's how they make all their money. Now, the chances of you surviving that 4 days and keeping enough people on the phone for 15 minutes.
Was there a timer that ran?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, they could tell. They had a main computer and they saw how long the calls.
They're billing, yeah, per minute.
I guess that's true. And how long was there? Was there a finite amount, like a concrete time that you had to keep people on for?
15 minutes.
Really?
And you had to have so many, otherwise you wouldn't survive the 4 free days of training. Well, of course, nobody did. So this company never had to pay out any money to any of its employees.
Theoretically, how much did they pay?
It was $8 an hour.
All right. So that's... Yeah. When was this?
Let's see. When was I robbed?
Well,
it was 1998. It was right before I came up here.
Benchmark.
1998.
All right.
Well, at least you didn't have to cold call them. It was just the nut jobs calling you, right?
Oh, yeah. And if you got tired of talking, you just unplugged the phone from the wall. and you wrap the cord around it, and you put it back in your little cubicle and just leave.
Meanwhile, there's some guy standing in a chair with a noose around his neck. Just answer! I didn't... Ah, screw it.
I mean, your ear would hurt because you're trying to push the earpiece up against your head so you didn't hear how, 100 other people talking in the same room. You heard of it really
God
fast.
Damn. All right. And so this is like we were talking about strippers the other day. And about that woman that got $10,000 a week, and Tim and I were talking about how if you're a good stripper at a good strip club in a big city or in Vegas,
I worked in one of those for one day.
If you're at like the Spearman.
I was a disc jockey.
He's a bouncer.
And I was supposed to watch on the cameras and report if the girls were fighting in the back room, and they always were.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. No, it's like if you work in like the Spearmint Rhino or one of those places in Vegas or at Scores, you can be, it's like 10 G's, a night you can be making. And I was saying that if I was a hot girl, the first thing I would do is start stripping. Like, I'd do it tomorrow.
No, we talked about this yesterday.
But my point also, I do have a point, which is that it's like the same thing with being a phone sex operator or a psychic. Man, that's like money, that's the easiest money you'd ever make.
Like, one of my roommates used to do that. She would sit in her SUV all night in her garage.
Yeah, and just be like, yes, you are the one. Mm-hmm. Oh, honey. And it's like, nobody's going to pay me to do that, clearly. But the thing is, you can be as ugly as a mud fence. It doesn't matter. You're a phone sex operator. You can have hooves. Who cares?
Well,
there's guys that will pay you like $5 a minute just to beat their ass and call them Judy. Doesn't matter. You need never have a real job again.
Well, the next step up the ladder is actual nightclubs or stripping.
Yeah, well, see, and then it's just a progression.
Right.
Have we done any news?
I don't know. What were we even going to do?
I guess I was supposed to do news here at some point. But
ladies and gentlemen,
sidetracked.
Let's go to the city desk. He's a Sagittarius and lists his interests as handball and nightclubs. He's Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Allow Congressman John Murtha, that retired Marine and outspoken critic of the war, he found out that a military investigation will show U.S. Marines killed 15 Iraqi civilians last year. That's not that many. In cold blood.
Murtha.
I'm sorry.
This is going to be a very bad thing for the United States, but the point is, it's not caused only by the troops, it's caused by the fact there's so few of them. And they go out every day, and 42% of them don't understand what the mission is. I mean, I don't make excuses for them, I'm just understanding what their problem is.
They only kill 15.
Let's clarify something right now. I'm not trying to make light of the loss of life, but I'm saying in the grand overarching sense of things, it's a war.
Right.
And American citizens don't care about Iraqis being killed. I'm not saying I don't care or that it's right.
No.
But I'm saying, you know what? As long as the average fat, stupid American can go to Walmart and buy a bag of Cheetos for $1.99, they don't care what's happening.
And as long as you can pay $3 for gas, we don't care.
That's it. I mean, as long as
Riddle hits four.
As long as the cable vision bill's getting paid, the average American doesn't give two things about whatever. The days of being able to stir up the moral outrage of the American people about something like this, those days are gone. The news is managed and produced and packaged so completely and totally by the government at this point that you will never, it's so difficult to shake Americans loose just out of these apathetic burlap sacks that they live in all day.
Well, let's attempt to do it with this story.
All right.
David Spade's lucky streak is over. The actor's rebound from whatever romance with Heather Locklear has ended.
Heather Locklear?
Yeah.
You didn't hear about that?
No, because I would have killed myself after killing him.
Heather isn't in a rush to get into another serious relationship.
Heather Locklear.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like Heather Locklear of Des Moines that shares the same name as.
No.
Okay.
And is Jennifer Lopez making a little J-Lo? Rumors are the diva is with child.
Heather Locklear.
And David Spade.
I thought...
She gave the excuse that every woman always says, he made her laugh.
He's a toadstool.
He can't make anybody laugh.
all right. What is it? Was it Joe Dirt? Is that really what gets the women? Is that it? I don't understand. Okay, let's stop here. I thought Heather Locklear...
was a ravishing beauty.
Well, yes. Also, she was with Richie Sambora, right?
They're getting divorced, and he slept with Denise Richards, who was her old best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So Richie Sambora broke it off with Denise Richards. Denise Richards is heartbroken. Richie Sambora is going on tour, and now Richie's trying to get Heather Locklear back.
And Denise is divorcing Charlie because he wished that she would get cancer of the face.
Yes, and because he allegedly enjoys child pornography.
Child pornography. We should be clear about this.
Are you sure?
Legal girls with shaved bodies and pigtails and braces.
I thought that was Charlie Sheen.
That's what I'm saying. Who did you think we were talking about?
I thought you were talking about David Spade.
No, Dave. Well, he might. I don't know. Charlie Sheen, allegedly, she found on his computer websites featuring girls who were made to look underage.
But we're not.
But we're not. I'm just saying. I'm going to be very careful about that. The pigtails and braces. Oh, and then he called her a whore and wished that she would get cancer of the face. And then she rebounded. Who rebounds from Richie Sambora onto David Spade? That's totally being in the right place at the right time. That's like that guy at, that's like that guy at Comiskey Park that just is able to put up his, at the right moment and grab that ball when it comes.
No, it's like the rock star syndrome, like with Richie Sambora. For example, Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt. She bounced to Vince Vaughn, who isn't always called the most attractive guy, but he's really funny.
David Spade, though.
Yeah. Well,
David Spade looks like Snoopy.
He's kind of endearing.
David Spade?
Well, not attractive, but kind of likable.
Doesn't he seem... Look, as I believe the man in Tommy Boy said most effectively, he's a smug, unhappy little man.
You know, I bet he carries himself really well. I bet that could make him attractive.
He has good poise.
What does that mean, carries himself very well?
He walks confidently.
Yeah, I bet he has a lot of confidence. I bet that he, just carries himself well.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's an unattractive man, but I'm saying he seems like a goof.
He just plays one.
He kind of looks like Mark Baumgarten from the Willamette. There you go. I can see that.
No, he doesn't.
He kind of does?
You think everybody looks like Mark Baumgarten.
Mark Baumgarten's got one of those faces, though, that you think he looks familiar to you.
Well, Katie Holmes is reportedly exhausting and constantly in tears since giving birth to Tom Cruise's daughter, Suri, sparking speculation she has the baby blues. This from
Martin's
Sun, the newspaper. Katie told pals it's natural for moms to experience such emotions.
This is, by the way, you want to go to SarahXDillon.com. Would you like to describe to people, Sarah, what they can expect to see on Katie Holmes' midsection when they go there?
You can see one of the sources of Katie's sadness.
And it is a mark of stretching, is what it is. Those never go away, by the way. If you're thinking about having a kid, you're thinking about reproducing, Xeroxing yourself, you want to go take a good, long, lingering look at Katie Holmes' stomach. Those are going to be with you for life. Those little stretchy marks, those little, where it's all whatever. I don't care how many calisthenics you do. Unless you know a guy with a blowtorch and like some putty, that's never going to go away.
She had a great little body, too.
Yeah, she was cute.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's the, and now she's weeping openly all the time and just sobbing away. Who could have seen that coming?
It's that, every girl that I'm seeing, well, at least, who's roughly my age, like Britney Spears and Katie Holmes, they never seem happy about giving the birthing.
No, because...
Which doesn't really sell me on it.
Do you know... Look, here's how I know, and I don't want us to sound like we despise and loathe children.
We do not.
We don't. I only don't... I just don't want them around me.
We collected money for children once.
We've collected money for children, several of them. We may do so in the future. Who knows?
And toys.
I am not opposed to children existing. All I'm saying is, I know that I... Look, here, the biggest problem in America is that all the wrong people have kids. We all know this is true. You know it's true. 90% of the people who have children are idiots and shouldn't be, are poor parents and shouldn't be reproducing. Now, I am not excluding myself from that. I would be the worst parent on earth. Mm-hmm. Then the first time that kid wouldn't go to sleep, I'd be dosing it with NyQuil and kicking it.
I would be a terrible parent.
We would, I can't speak for Tim, but Sarah and I know, would be terrible parents.
We've had long discussions about cages and...
Yeah, I mean, the first time that kid looked at me wrong, he'd be getting a ladle in the eye. You know what I mean? I'd a series of blunt objects would be thrown at him, probably just because I have a bad temper, and I'm selfish, and I'm a jerk, and I'm an a-hole.
Which is kind of refreshing to find out about yourself, because a lot of people don't, you know, come to terms with that, and then they have kids.
Until they have a kid.
Yeah.
And so when I cast it, people go, well, how can you pass judgment if you don't have any kids? Because I was a kid. This idea that you can't pass judgment on parenting if you don't have kids is a crock. Do you know who said, you'll hear that from sometimes people. You will be commenting on a child raising issue. And what do you always hear? Well, do you have children? And, you know, the next person who says that's going to get kicked squarely in the junk, by the way, because you don't have to have children. You don't have to have a dog to know that you don't leave it in a car on a hot summer day. You don't have to have a child to know what you do and don't do with one. I am, theoretically speaking, the worst parent on earth, which is why I do not have children. Ditto for Sarah Dillon. We're smart enough to know what we don't know. But people ask me, well, how do you know you don't want children if you've never had them?
I get that all the time.
You're going to die alone.
It's
going to take care of you when you're old?
Or this. You get this, well, honey, you think you don't want a child, but then as soon as you have it, which to me sounds like a big crapshoot.
Mm-hmm. You're so selfish.
That sounds a lot like buying a car without test driving it on the assumption that you will enjoy it once you've already committed your life to paying for it. Mm-hmm. You know? And you can't... child isn't like a car. You can, unless it's Florida, you can't just drop it somewhere. If you're in Florida, apparently you can just leave it at a rest station. But everywhere else, they make you keep those for 18 years. You can't just take it back as soon as it's just a mouth off.
18-year stuff is a crock anyway. It's for life.
It's for life, seriously.
Yeah, it's just 18 years of life. That's forever.
And it's like, well, and they used to say that it cost $180,000 to get a kid to the age of 18. I can't even imagine what it is now. That was when I was like 15 in high school. They would scare us with that. You know, you're going to $180,000. I can't even imagine how much it would cost now. But they said, well, once you look into its eyes, you're certainly going to. Thank you. No. And here's how I know, because, like, there's stuff you like and there's stuff that you tolerate. And here's how you can tell the difference, because we've all known parents like this, where the kid goes away to spend the weekend at grandma's, or the kid is at camp for a week, or the kid goes to a slumber party, and what is the first reaction of the parent? It is just tear-inducing relief and just happiness, right? How many parents you know like that, oh, it's the bell, the kids are gone for a whole week. Oh, it's so great. You know? It's like, when is the last time you did that about your car? Oh, it's so great. I don't have the car for a week. The car's gone. It's so great. I can't. Every day. It's so wonderful that I'm without the TV for. It's broken. The TV's gone. It's the best thing ever. You know? Or whatever. What is this? Oh, it's fantastic. Like, you know, my cable's out all week. It's just so great. I'm really going to enjoy this week. You never say that. Why? Because you like having cable around. You don't regret getting a television. Anytime something is gone for a week and your first reaction is one of relief and happiness, that's a thing you should not have had in the first place. So, there you go. Thus endeth the lesson. That is all ye know and all ye need know.
We just lost so many parents.
Whatever. I don't care.
Have we played the coin clip yet?
I'm just saying. All right. It's 503. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Woo! And the top five as well. Top five drum intros to a rock song. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Tim. Hi, hello. Behind the curtain. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. In a moment, we'll bring on Jen Lane, then we'll go to the city desk. We got some Guns N' Roses news. It's actual real news this time. It's not fake news. It's not pointless news. What else? Then we'll do the top five rock and roll drum intros of all time, and so forth. By the way, I've got this just gripping radio that I'll read here. We've got this. Tim and I were comparing notes about this. We're both getting spammed for some reason with all these terrible guest ideas. The companies, they get a hold of your email address, they find out you do a radio show, and then suddenly they all want to foist their stupid and pointless guests on you. So we'll read this in a second. Let's see. We got a couple emails here. It's Rick at rickemerson.com, by the way. And then we'll take a Loch Ness Monster call. I know it doesn't even seem possible that we could do all of those things in the small, meager amount of time allotted to us here. And yet we will make it happen because we are broadcast professionals. This email reads thusly. Let's see. Subject line, children, thank you. Rick, thank you for telling the naked truth about people having kids. Maybe one person in 20 would be a good parent, and none of them are on the max riding to Gresham with plastic sacks full of Pampers and Coors. There you go. Signed, the oldest of 9 kids. It is a harsh truth. This is from Tim Riley. Subject line of this email. He'll light up your phones just like he did on WGN yesterday. It might sound repulsive. That's a good way to get me interested in the guest. But the fact is, gastrointestinal problems affect millions of Americans, including many of your listeners. Bill Downs is a... I cannot believe that they sent me an email that read. I can't even read this on the air.
No, not yet.
Bill Downs is a leading expert on embarrassing gastrointestinal conditions, such as uncontrollable blank, ultra-smelly blank, heartburn, growling. I can't even read most of these. Why would they think that I would want to talk about this?
Apparently, somebody with a failing career had to reinvent themselves. And they said, let's appeal to the lowest common denominator. We'll get bookings.
Okay, cool.
This is not going to... No! There you go. That's...
Well, I guess somebody made a mistake.
There you go. Thank you. Should we take this... Here's what we got to do, Cheryl. We're going to introduce Jen Lane, who's currently blowing her nose. Tim Riley and this Loch Ness Monster thing. What should I do?
Why don't you take the Loch... Oh. Hi, I'm talking without my microphone.
Hi there.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, who's this?
This is Steve.
Steve, what do you got about the Loch Ness Monster?
Okay, I'm like you, okay? I didn't believe in the thing, and I can't quite remember if this was Discovery Channel or what. Some of the other listeners may know. But there's a guy who restored my faith. He's been looking for it for the last, 40 years, and he's not a crackpot. He's a lawyer and a respected scientist. He has a photo on his special of a Loch Ness Monster corpse, or what looks like one, right at the bottom of Loch Ness. He's making plans to bring it up. Plus, he found a life form down there, almost like a sea anemone.
Are you screwing with me here?
No, Rick. I mean, some of your callers may know it. It was just on,
I am a huge...
It was on the Discovery Channel?
I'm a huge fan of the Loch Ness Monster. The Loch Ness Monster is a big interest of mine.
I want to see that picture.
Well, not only did he find this corpse, and he shows a picture of it, and it really looks like one, but he found this life form, like this strange-looking sea anemone thing that... scientists didn't know existed on the bottom of Loch Ness.
It's creeping me out, especially when you talk about he's going to bring the corpse up. See, that's the sort of thing that is alternately fascinating and horrifying to me. All right, thank you. Well, if you find out, drop me an email, sir.
Okay, Rick.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, there you go. See, the Loch Ness Monster is great and all, but it's just, it terrifies me at the same time. You were asking if I'd ever gone to Loch Ness, and the answer is no. I don't think I could.
You've never been out of the country.
I couldn't, no, but it's in terms of Loch Ness, I don't think I could bring myself to go. The whole place would just freak me out too much. We'll bring on Jen Lane in one moment. Let's welcome now to the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat Tim Riley Report. A German woman left her friend as a deposit at a gas station because she didn't have enough cash to pay for a petrol. She didn't have enough money to pay the bill, so the friend stayed behind as a human deposit when she went to withdraw cash. Unfortunately, the woman did not return.
That's fantastic. Okay. I'm going to try that.
The new CW network, which is a joint bid by CBS Corporation and Time Warner to shake up its TV landscape, unveiled its new primetime slate. It includes... This should sound familiar to you. Everybody Hates Chris. Girlfriend, Seventh Heaven, Smallville, Gilmore Girls, Veronica Mars, One Tree Hill, and Supernatural. The CW, C stands for UPN parent company CBS, and the W for Time Warner, has been formed as a 50-50 venture. No one's expecting to watch this new network. More people have seen it on the MAX train going by, the pictures, than they have watching the actual show.
What's the point? Why should I even talk about it? First of all, I thought Seventh Heaven was canceled.
No, it's back.
Didn't they cancel that the same day they canceled Arrested Development, you sons of bitches?
They canceled it, but brought it back.
What?
Why not?
Why? Why would you leave Arrested Development canceled, but you would bring back Seventh Heaven? Don't even get me started on the Gilmore Girls and Amy Sherman Palladino leaving the show. And I don't want to talk about it. The whole thing just makes me all sad.
Well, leave it to Axl Rose to save the best for last. On Wednesday night, during the band's fourth and final warm-up show at New York's Hammerstein Ballroom, the much-rumored reunion of Axl with guitarist Izzy Stradlin finally came to pass. Stradlin, who quit the band mid-tour in late 1991, has since released 5 albums. Is this one of them pictured here?
No, that is a Stay Free maxi pad.
Okay. I was wondering, it looked like an album cover to me.
No.
Anyway,
I'm sure Izzy Stradlin would be flattered to know that you confused a feminine hygiene product with one of his band's records.
That's what it looks like.
It does.
That is a little bit
confusing. The driest ultra thin you can buy.
Well, anyway, he released 5 albums, solo and with the short-lived group, the Juju Hounds. Join GNR for 3 tunes, including Think About You, Patience, and Night Train. The concert, which concluded shortly after 2 a.m., also featured guest vocalist Kid Rock on Night Train. The 4 sold-out shows acted as a warm-up for GNR's European festival appearances this summer. No other North American dates have been scheduled thus far. The two hugged before launching into the number, and one eyewitness reported seeing Stradlin's eyes welling with tears during Patience.
Aww.
Various online GNR message boards have been buzzing with speculation of a full band reunion since word of Stradlin's arrival reached fans via text message.
All right, so a couple things. A, and I noted this the other day, and I know the guitarists will scream about this because everybody, Slash is a great guitarist, but in terms of pure songwriting, Izzy Stradlin was and is the Dee Dee Ramone of that group. He's the most talented guy in Guns N' Roses. And all of the Guns N' Roses songs that you know and love and think are great, he wrote those songs. So he's the guy that created all of the Guns N' Roses songs that you, he was really the engine in that group. He made some fantastic solo records. His first, the Izzy Stradlin and the Juju Hounds record, the self-titled one that came out in 91 is fantastic. It's one of the most overlooked rock albums of the last 25 years. But he's totally the great story though, about the guy who comes from Indiana, goes out, becomes a huge rock star, and then, you know, and he didn't sit and complain about fame and celebrity and whatever and keep doing it. He just, you know, he decided that the band got big enough that it wasn't fun anymore, and he just packed it in, and he moved back to Indiana and lives in a farm somewhere. So he kind of does the real thing. Anyway, but he has always been the bellwether. He's always been the guy that you look at to see how the future of that group is going to roll out. And really, if he does rejoin Axl Rose, that really will bode well for Duff McKagan and Slash coming back, which is fantastic. There will be no all original member reunion, by the way, because Steven Adler has done enough cocaine that he managed to paralyze the left side of his body. So that's not really going to work out well unless they decide to do nothing but White Stripes songs. But there will probably be a 4/5 reunion of that band that'll happen. As I said last week, the obligatory money grubbing reunion will happen, and I will be there, and so will you. Should we bring on Jen Lane?
Yes, please do.
Tim Riley, thank you for providing the news in stellar and fantastic fashion.
No, it's always my pleasure. Please call again.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine at barflymag.com. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still a little bit drunk from last night.
Okay. This is going to be the best show ever.
Jen and I went out for a couple of early cocktails.
Yeah, that's what did me in. It was the pre-funk.
I got this. There was the MySpace. But it's always interesting when I log on to MySpace and I see that something has gone out, like a Rick Emerson Show bulletin has gone out that I... Like, I'm just sitting at home, and the Rick Emerson Show bulletin is like, come to Cibolas, we're all here! And I was like, it was how, like, my brain kind of folded for a minute, like, I didn't understand what was going on, but the...
Yeah, Jen has wireless internet, so we could play on MySpace while we were at Cibolas.
So you are, but you, it's okay, I feel good about today, you'll hold it together.
Yeah.
You can play through the pain.
I'm an experienced drunk, and I'm good at it.
I was just gonna say,
I'm an expert drunk.
Do you feel a responsibility when you are out with people?
As a role model? Of course.
Well, no, clearly not, but I'm seeing like, do you, like, because you are Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, like, do you feel, do people expect you just to have a superhuman ability to power through a hangover? You might actually have such an ability.
And I do.
Well, see, there you go. So, do you, you're
and
like...
she can drink an ungodly amount of alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, we go out and play bingo. We have it. I kept winning all these shots that I didn't want. She could just take them and be fine.
You're like Karen Allen at the Raiders of the Lost Ark at the beginning. You're just doing the shots with the guy.
Honestly, she is my role model. I remember seeing that movie when I was, I guess, 11.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so cool. And then when I came of age and started drinking, I was like, I'm going to be that girl that can do all the shots.
I like you throwing came of age there. You should recreate that Raiders of the Lost Ark drinking contest at some point. I'd pay to see that. Geeks of the world know that I'm speaking the truth. You don't think Aaron...
at the next listener party.
You don't think Aaron and his friends... Yeah, you don't think Aaron and his friends would pay to see you recreate the Raiders of the Lost Ark shot competition?
Hey, if somebody's going to pay me, I'm willing to do just about anything right now. So, sure.
You heard it here, kids. There you go. It's Jen at barflymag.com. Let your imaginations run wild. So, and you got a bunch of stuff coming. We'll do the top 10 here in a second, but you've got many things... on the way, you've got...
Let's see. I've got my weekly DJ gig as DJ Meow at the Cat House.
And you have good taste in music.
On Wednesdays, I have excellent taste in music.
Your taste in music is not what I thought it would be when we first met.
I don't even want to know what you thought, because I would be insulted. I'm already insulted.
I'm not sure what I thought. In other words, I don't know what I thought it was. But I remember when you did your top five, and it was, Springsteen... you've done a couple, actually, so I'm getting them merged in my head, because you did top five drinking songs at one point, too, and there was, like, Oasis was on there. But the Kinks and Springsteen, and it was just much more solidly...
Run DMC.
Yeah, it was much more solidly, like, similar to my own taste than I really thought. And then Rufus, was Rufus Wayne there? Yeah, so there you go. So there's the wild card. But, no, you've got fantastic taste in music, so people should check that out.
Thanks. Yeah, it's every Wednesday at Sabala's, and it's ladies' night, so it's 2-for-1 drinks and free cupcakes for the ladies. And it's free.
And then barflymag.com continues to roll on.
Yeah, barflymag.com is about to undergo major renovations, and my partner Kyle's back in town, and he's been a little bit sick, but hopefully in about a week we'll have a whole bunch of new content on there, and... it should be blowing up, as the kids say.
All right. How do you feel about counting down the top five for us?
I don't know if I feel that good about that. That's your department.
Oh, Jen.
Fine. Now, see how I tried to... No, okay. It was like a little alley, but there was no oop. All right.
Sorry.
All right. Do you want to... Sarah, should we break now, or should we do the top five now?
Let's do the top five now.
Okay. Should we bring Tim in, or should I do it?
I don't know. Can you make a decision on your own? I'm just kidding.
I'm just asking.
You should just do it. Let him have his downtime.
Fine, I'll do it myself.
You don't want to do it?
No, I'll do it. I'll do it as Tim.
No, it's fine.
No, it's okay.
This could be Jen Lane's moment to shine.
I'll do it. No, it's fine. I'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your top five for Thursday
five,
on the Rick Emerson Show.
4, 3, 2, 1, 5.
I'll do it as Tim Riley.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous.
How come you don't sing along anymore?
The best thing to
I do. I sang yesterday.
Not as much.
Counting is happiness. Counting
everybody.
Is ecstasy. I love to count.
Don't you? The great thing about this music is how much it sounds like the wedding march in The Godfather. I keep expecting the whole, and may your first child be a masculine child. That's my family, Kate. It's not me. All right, here's... me with the top five. The rhythmic pounding of prominent percussion has anchored many of the great songs of our time, from rock to pop to standards to swing. Let's take a moment, shall we, to pay tribute to this most aggressive of instruments with these, the top five drum intros to a rock or pop song. Honorable mention, it's Adam and the Ants with Goody Two Shoes. Backslash Tim Riley. First of all, what a fantastic song this is. I realize it's not a pure drum intro because there's a guitar here and whatever, but this is a great song in the sense that the drums are almost the lead instrument in this song. This is another song that I'd never heard until a couple years ago when I saw it on VH1 Classic, like 2002 probably.
You had never heard this?
I'd never heard it. Well, you know, you saw Bigger Than Jesus. This is a whole thing. I had no real exposure to a lot of top 40 music because I went straight from just country and gospel records to rock.
This is so saturated, though. I can't believe you didn't work.
Such a great song. It's so good. I'm not advocating that anybody abuse their body with chemicals, because that, of course, would be wrong. But if anybody has done any amount of... If anybody has made the poor choice to perhaps...
What about better living through chemicals?
I'm just saying that in a theoretical sense, if you've spent any nights taking powerful stimulants... This, to me, I think, is what a really, really, really good...
You mean lifestyle enhancement products?
You say tomato? You say tomato, I say amphetamines. If you were to take, like, a really powerful amphetamine rush and make it into a song, I think this is the song. Just one big crosstop rush to your head. If you were to just take that whole bottle and crank it down into, so to speak, into one song, that's what this is, I think. It's a great, it's the best song. I could listen to this every day, all day. I don't even know what this, did this guy even have any other songs? Well, okay. At number five, it's Iggy and the Pops with Lust for Life. What a great song. Come on, what a, listen to that. Good enough that Good Charlotte stole it.
I love these commercials.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, right there. That's where that came from. Just such a great song, even though it's Nick from the Doors. It's a big sound. Listen how big that sound is.
What's up with Phil Spector these days?
Oh, he's got big crazy hair and he shoots people.
Yeah, is it his trial ended?
No, his trial got postponed.
Oh.
Counting down the top five drum intros to a rock or pop song. Number four, U2, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Be there. I'm not even a big U2 fan, so you know that this is on the level. But, you know, it's kind of a haunting song.
I like U2 a lot.
I mean, I respect U2 a lot. I'm not a fan.
I mean you and Sarah, but no, I love U2.
No, I respect U2 quite a lot. I'm not a big fan, but I mean...
I really love them.
They do what they do, and they're about the best in the world at what they do. And I will say this, that Bono, in many ways...
I wish he'd stop wearing those stupid wraparound sunglasses.
No,
he's so retarded.
I read this great interview with him where he claims that he has to wear them now because he's worn them for so long that actually flash bulbs, like, damage his eyes.
Right. I didn't develop a love for U2 until I went to Ireland, and they're just, you know, gods.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. He, you know what, as much as I don't like that guy, he is a perfect, he's a great rock star.
He is a great rock star. But, you know, can we just call The Edge by his real name now?
Isn't it Ted or Hank?
You know?
Whatever his name is?
Over the Edge.
Wait,
she is still drunk.
All right, hold on. That's a little... That's worthy of the...
I'll be here all week, folks.
All right. No, and he... And Bono gives... And Bono gives great interviews, and he can rhapsodize really well about rock and roll. He does... He gave a great interview in Rolling Stone. But counting on the top five intros to a rock and roll song, drum-wise, at number three, it's Guns N' Roses. You Could Be Mine. This is the also from the Terminator 2 soundtrack. Great build-up. One of the great all-time builds to a rock song. Really, the problem with Guns N' Roses now is that, well, they're many, 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 many fold. But, man, they got to come back with exactly the right song. If the first single that they come back with isn't this good, they're cooked to toast. If they could come, if like this was a new song, if they could come back with this song, they'd be set. But, you know, never happened though.
Did you ever see them?
Yeah, some of the Kingdom with Motorhead and Metallica.
I saw them 8 times.
Really?
Really?
See, and Izzy Stradlin had already left, so I'm jealous. I never saw him that early. I love Guns N' Roses. I really do. I really honestly love those guys. Where'd you see them?
Let's see. I saw them at places in New York, the Ritz. I saw them at the Meadowlands several times. At Madison Square Garden. They were like, in the late 80s, they were like opening for everybody like a couple of summers in a row. So that's how I saw them. They were always opening.
I'm so jealous.
And then once the one time I saw them, they were headlining, Axl never came out, and there was a big riot in the Meadowlands.
Right.
Yeah. At Giant
Stadium. All right, counting to the top five drum intros for a rock or pop song. Number two. The Neck by Sharon. You know what I didn't realize until about a year and a half ago is that It's Tricky totally copied this. For some reason, I never noticed it, that Run DMC It's Tricky totally copied
this. Define irony.
It's ruined the song in many ways for me, that whole movie. It's when things are really ironic. The only good part of that movie is when David Spade, of all people, says, you got time to lean, you got time to clean. How sad that David Spade is the highlight of anything.
That movie, it could have been so good, but it was just so shoddily put together.
It's a terrible film. I am sad.
I love Janine Garofalo. That's when I just put my first tube of red lipstick.
I am so sad that is going to be, that's going to be the movie that, like, the young kids 20 years from now use to incorrectly paint my generation with.
I like Slackers a lot more. If you're going to describe, you know, my generation.
Yeah, I'll let Clerks define me. I'd be fine with that. All right. Counting down the top five drum intros to a rock or pop song. Number one. Had to be this. This, by the way, is the best Van Halen song ever recorded. In case you're taking notes at home.
This is a song to get all the boys on the dance floor.
Really?
Anytime, any place, they'll start
shaking. Is that true?
Yeah, this song makes boys go crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
He is going crazy. Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you not love it? Yeah. It's fantastic. This is, to me, the archetypal. It is the Van Halen song. It's got everything. It's got this. Listen to the guitar work. It's got the drum intro. It's got the spoken section where David Lee Roth is doing his rap. You know, I brought my pencil. It's got all of that. It's got the breakdown. It's got the video where they're dressed in, like, peach-colored suits, and white gloves, and they're doing, like, the choreography. And Roth's the only one taking it seriously. People have got to remember that David Lee Roth, first and foremost, is just probably the greatest frontman in rock history that's not Robert Plant or Paul Stanley.
Wait a second, man.
Who replaced him? In New York?
Oh, Opie and Anthony. How great is that? The answer is goddamn great. I don't think you can really dance to this, though, could you? You can just sort of jitter, which is what I'm doing. And they do the harmonies. They never got credit for doing the harmonies this well, right here. That's what gave them such a big sound. All right, back after this on the Rick Emerson Show. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. How are you? Jen's drunk. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note. We're back in 21 hours. As for now, we enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, how did Sarah learn that her roommates lock their doors? Has she been doing some rummaging of her own?
Well, I can tell you, I know that the guy who owns the house always locks it because I see him lock it. But my other roommate, Ben, has a full-length mirror in his room, and I don't have one of mine that I can get to.
You suppose he stands in front of it in Speedos and looks at his own his own body a la Dirk Diggler?
He does exercise a lot.
This is from Allison. Insert stupid Elvis Costello joke. I used to go to a shrink and always noted when he wrote in his pad. I assumed I just said something meaningful. Years later, when I was managing the same shrink's office, I found out when he was bored, he would just make out his grocery shopping list. There you go. Let's see.
Is that kind of crossing the line, like, to go from being a patient to an employee?
I guess.
That would be an ethical violation.
About Sarah's hands. Per an old wives' tale, you will be getting money if your palm itches.
I thought it was if your nose itches.
No, that's when someone's talking about you. No,
unless
that's when your ears
burn.
Who knows? It's all... And we're talking about it as though, like, it's a real thing. Like, there's some scientific conflict between
like the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. Rick, just to recap, the man who is now complaining that some of the buttons in the studio don't work may or may not be the same man who played Lean on Me accidentally during Lycus yesterday. Twice. Just saying. That wasn't me.
Sure, program director.
It was me. I was in here trying to fix something, and then I hit the button, and it started playing Lean on Me during Lycus. Twice. We never did the new watch.
Huh?
We have a new watch. We didn't do it. We'll do it tomorrow. Hate me. Barflymag.com, ladies and gentlemen. Jen Lane.
Yeah, we've got our big anniversary party coming up for Sunday in June.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah, we throw the best parties in town.
It was that the Red Bull and vodka
party
last year?
It's going to be at Sabala's. We usually do have some Red Bull involved.
That's where
and
that
we had New Deal vodka last
fantastic
year.
Fantastic picture was taken of us.
This year, they don't know it yet, but it's going to be Stella Artois and I believe the Bacardi brands. Yes.
All right. So Barflymag.com.
But I haven't told them that yet, so.
Go there now. Go there now. Find out all details.
We're talking about free liquor, right?
No, yeah. I'm reading.
It's important stuff.
I got one eye on the clock.
Yeah, it's barflymag.com.
All right. There you go. Jen Lane. And stuff.
Thank you.
I was going to insert a where is your God now, but it didn't seem appropriate. Where is your God now? There you go. Jen Lane. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Jim Roop and Ed McCarthy. The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. Back tomorrow. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. See y'all tomorrow. Bye. Like us next and stuff. Bye.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.